Junior high school age, you can go out with Alex. He's raising his hand there in the back. You got your service back there. Amen. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I do want to remind you, I just want to take this moment and remind you about our potluck, our Bloom Women's Ministry, and our Men of Valor Men's Ministry are getting together tonight. Going to be in the multipurpose room. Gabriel and Katie got a great word for us, and then we're going to fellowship and share. So we want you to bring a pot. Bring a dish. If you're lucky, that's why they call it potluck, is you bring a pot and you're lucky, you get, no. Just come on out and be a part of that. And so bring something, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Bring your kids. My wife is saying, bring your kids. Amen. We got some goodie bags for them. Amen. Well, today we got a treat for you. You're wondering probably, what's all this about up here? Well, one of our very, very close friends is here. He's been a friend of our church for years, been a friend of mine for years. Pastor Alex has known him for years. In fact, he's the reason Pastor Alex is even saved. Amen. He prayed with him on the day Alex got saved. And so let's give Pastor Ron Simpkins a great big hand as he comes. Amen. And I will share this with you. If you want the dirt, the truth about Alex Wilson, he knows the truth. And for a meager fee, he will share with you everything Amen. You want to know.
Amen. Hallelujah. And you don't know how tempting that is, but the truth is, Alec is one of the greatest men I've ever known. Amen. I wish I could criticize him, but I just even can't think of anything right now. Amen. But I'm sure some of you can fill in the blanks. I told him the first service I knew Alec when he had hair. Amen. That's how old I am. Amen. And my age shows. That's why I'm sitting in this seat. Amen. But I'm still moving. Hallelujah. I went and basically pioneered a church at 70. You know what I mean? Most guys are quitting. Amen. You say, why are you still going? Well, I'm too broke to not at least get some kind of paycheck. Amen. No, actually, they didn't pay me for years. But we can change the world. How many believe that? Raise your hand. You say, yeah. How many believe it? I believe this is a place that it's doing this, and it has changed the world, and the men that are here changed lives and changed the world. What a privilege to be here this morning with you. And hopefully you'll hear something that'll help you, and if nothing else, a few stories that'll make you laugh. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach to you a sermon I call the 3 P's. And I've been around. I've written a dozen books. I've been to 24 nations, I think it is. I still, and mainly because of Pastor John and Kathy, last 6 months I probably hit 10, 12 churches, spoke to 50, 60 pastors and helped them. I mainly go to small churches and try to help those that are struggling. Amen? And I have to have some help. And your church is one of those that has helped me for, I don't even know, 15 years probably almost. Wouldn't it be? Something like that. Well, at least 12. And I appreciate it. And it's been just a blast. How many know the greatest thing we can do is serve God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I hope you can hear that this morning, and you'll kind of come. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 12, it's kind of a weird scripture, but I think it's an important scripture. And it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You catch the picture. You're dirt and God. Amen. Hallelujah. And hopefully less dirt than there is God. But if we're honest, we have troubles. And the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Listen to this. I kind of hate this scripture. You know what I mean? My least favorite scripture in the Bible is that I'm going to send you as sheep among wolves. I literally do not like that scripture. I want to be a wolf among sheep. I don't want to be a sheep among wolves. And yet there's something that even in your struggle, your brokenness, in your hurt, God sees value. Isn't that powerful? That when you're weak, you're strong. I can't hardly see that in most cases. But here's Paul, and he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our body. One of the things that God's dealing with me about, and I want to challenge some of you, is this isn't supposed to be an easy thing. Amen. Jesus has put us on a trail that is not easy. It is easy in one sense, because if you allow yourself to have the right attitude and the right guidance, amen, it's going to come naturally. But the Bible says that a lot of people have trouble seeing it. And there are probably some of you here that are having trouble seeing what God is doing in your life. In fact, anybody, you're kind of at one of those tipping points. You know you're at a critical moment. You just raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. Quite a few of us. And I want to speak to you this morning, and I think there are three things that can change our life and help us, and that's to have the right purpose, to know why you're here, and what God wants to do in your life. Amen. Number two, have the right perspective. Amen. We've got to see what God sees. I don't know about you, but that's tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're in a raging battle in a fallen world with a real enemy. Amen. And that alone can help some of you if you get it. And then here's the biggest thing. Don't quit. Amen. Persevere. Keep moving. Don't give up. Amen. I'm going to get completely off track here. Amen. It all starts with purpose. The devil's main goal is to keep you from finding your purpose. Amen. To get you off track, to get you deceived, to sidetrack you and stall your life, to not move from purpose to purpose, from purpose to purpose. In fact, I would say, even a little prophetically, some of you are sitting here and it's time for your purpose to change a little. Does that make sense?
Yes, I receive.
Amen. That we start and we're a soul winner. We invite people to church and stuff. But then God may call you into something.
Right.
Amen. Into a task and a job and these kinds of things. So what's your purpose? It says in John 1, 12 and 13, God says, as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. Wow. Wow. To become a son of God. Woo. When you're looking at me, you're looking at somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't just look at the dirt. Look at the God that's there. And then believe on his name, which are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, or the will of men, but of God.
Amen.
See, I don't know. I don't think I even am close to understanding that completely. Amen. There's something about the hand of God that if I stop and think about it, I'm here this morning not by accident.
Amen.
My footsteps are literally directed by God.
Amen.
Amen. There's something about my life that is connected to God's kingdom. Here's my challenge to this church, and I believe, and this is where I love your pastor. How many love your pastor? Amen. And you got several of them, so you can kind of choose between them which one you want to love. But amen. When I go, I love Kathy. I love the pools. I love Jason, and I just love the whole gang. Amen. And then there's Alec, and then there's Rosalie, and my God, what a place! But here's the key: there's you.
What a place!
There is you. You may hold the key to life. One of the proudest things in my life is what John said. I led Alec Wilson to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He has changed nations. Not just churches or people, but nations have literally been affected by his life. And I am really hoping that when I go to heaven, I'm going to get at least a couple marbles in my crown because I prayed for Alec. And I feel I need to give a little bit of a push. Some of you, you need to start to take your purpose seriously, and you need to fill this church.
Yes.
Yes. Wave at me if you say, I know I'm here to fill this church. That's the purpose of life. You will never do anything greater than that. I lived my life with no purpose. I mean, it was just, I was stupid. I just wanted to be liked. Amen. And that is so dysfunctional. If there's a psychologist in the crowd, I could use help. Amen. Because I don't know if I've completely shook that. Amen. In my time that's here. Amen. I went to college one semester so I wouldn't go to a whole day of class. I was the champion chugger in Northern Arizona University. I could drink a 12-ounce beer faster than any of the thousands of students. I'm famous. No, infamous. Amen, but I got saved. And when I got saved, I began to find my purpose. I began to discover what I'm made for. If you need to find your purpose, I challenge you to a couple of things.
Oops, yeah. Hallelujah. Sorry about that.
But what the heck was I talking about? Yeah, purpose. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You need to find your purpose.
So when I got saved, and I got saved 100 times. Anybody else like that?
Yes.
Worst thing I ever did was drop acid and went to a revival and they preached on hell. I felt the flames. I ran to the altar screaming, you know. I'm serious. But you know what I never did is this, and this can change some of your lives. I made the Bible my guide. If the Bible says raise your hands, I'm going to raise my hands.
Amen.
The Bible says be holy, I'm going to do my best to be holy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Most Christians never follow the Bible. They follow their feelings. You're driven, so you have your ups and downs and these kinds of things. But we need to make the Word of God the foundation of our life. I found a church. You're here. You're in a great place. It's a great place because you can overdo it. You can get... So I'm not even going to go there. But it's a foundation for your life. It's a launching pad for your purpose to come and to do these things. And if you don't have a church, you ought to make this your church. In fact, once again, I'm really into pushing people a little. So is that all right? John will be back. He's such a sweetheart. Amen. I love to listen to his preaching and just an encourager. But I feel that the Holy Spirit these days wants to push us a little more than where we're at. Does that make sense? To see ourselves in a little more of a light. To be louder. To just be louder. What you do, others do. You get that? What you do, others do. So if you come to church, others will come to church. If you don't, they may not. If you pray, they pray. I mean, you start to think about it. A friend of mine saw me raise my hands, just raise my hands, and it so shook him that he gave his life to Christ. The next day, he became he ran a children's ministry, a camp here in Arizona, up in the mountains, for 50 years. And all I did was raise my hands. So first altar call. How many need to get louder? Raise your hand. You say, I need to get louder. You need to get louder. I'm serious. I really feel this is the Holy Spirit challenging me to do this. And if you'll see it, literally lives are going to change. Father, we pray for this congregation, God, that we would see ourselves as who God has made us to be. God, that we wouldn't just see Jesus, but we would see why Jesus loved us so much that he came and died to energize and activate us to be the Christians that we need to be. God, we're so sorry
that we get so distracted by life, by our wounds and by our hurts and by the other kinds of things. God, cause us to see who we are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's the purpose. John changed my life a few years ago. He told me about the movie with Anne Hathaway, Princess Bride. Anybody see that movie?
Yes.
And it's kind of a stupid movie, but they all are, probably. And she finds out that she's actually meant to be a princess and that her grandmother was the queen of a country. And the whole movie is her being trained. That's what we're trying to do here today. Train you to be king's kids. Train you to see yourself as who God sees you as. He sees you as his children. Amen. It says in one scripture, a friend of mine is always quoting that you're always on his mind. Isn't that powerful? Jesus is thinking about you right now. He's God. He loves you. And he wants to see you do great things. Amen. And change the world. Hallelujah. And you do that by finding your purpose. You're chosen. Amen. You're chosen of God. Amen. How many have discovered God brought you to this place? Yes. See, that'll change everything. Here's what'll change. This is a great group of people. I do know this church pretty well, and I know a lot of you and have known you for years and who you are. You're as good a people as can come. But here's something I would have you just chew on. We need Christians to go from volunteers to called. You're called. This is filled with people that if I were to ask you, or John were to ask you, or Alec were to ask you to do something, you have a great heart. You'd say, I'll do it. But here's what God wants to do in the last days. He wants to give you his authority. And that what you do, whether it's sing in the choir or run a children's church or do these things, he wants you to take ownership of that. Amen. Amen. To not be able to be defeated. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen. Hope this is all right. This is kind of weird. I'm doing something different here, but hallelujah. I'm gone in about 30 minutes. But I really just feel, does anybody really hear the Holy Ghost when I say that? Like I say, of being a witness, of praying, and starting to pray with an energy and a dynamic. It's discovering who you are is the power. Listen to a couple of scriptures and then we'll move on. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, amen, I live. Yet not I, but Christ in me. He liveth in me. The life that I now live by the Son of God, by the Son of God. Amen. I know we're a mess and we've been distracted and we've thought all kinds of things and we thought bad things on the way to church maybe even. But you know what? We are chosen of God, and God has planted a seed in you that if you'll water it this morning, things are going to happen that you can't even dream of or imagine. Amen. That can only begin when we become purposeful and treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Listen to this one. Ephesians 1:18 and 20. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory in us and the inheritance of the saints, me and you, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kind of a weird altar call here right now. Don't get too excited. I'm not done, but I'm not going to be too long. But like I say, I'm trying to be more obedient. How many of you would say, this? You're saved. You're saved. That's not even an issue. but you're not as spiritual as you know you need to be. In the last days, God wants to raise the level of the Holy Spirit. He's going to pour out His Spirit. You have to, though, step into it. Most Christians just settle for being forgiven, for being entertained. They find a church that's talented and gifted, and they sit there. They're afraid to step into the anointing, to really begin to take the cross and move forward. And I sense that this morning there are some setting here that God is trying to get you out of your comfort zone. Amen. And it may not be comfortable, but it could be effective. You'd raise your hand. You'd say, that's me. Is there anybody? Quite a few. Quite a few. This is what I believe is happening, is preparation for the last days, for what the church is going to see. Because we say we want revival, but if we're going to have revival, somebody has to disciple people. Right. Somebody has to make friends. Am I making sense? Yes. Pray with me right now and just surrender. Surrender to God. Amen. And ask the Holy Spirit to take you to a new level. And don't be afraid to die to some of those things that you even enjoy, but to come alive to your nature as a servant. Father, we surrender to You this morning. We surrender to Your purpose and plan for our life. We ask You, God, take us to the next dimension. God, bring us to the place You want us to be, not we want to be. But God, help us to be able to see it so we don't fight You. Amen. You can look at me. Literally, it's that simple to turn. Because perspective. Say perspective. You've got to see this. I was raised in church, but I never saw it. I was more captivated by Davy Crockett than the Apostle Paul. I didn't get it. I sat there, and I never saw it. I'd get saved, but it never changed me until I began to see heaven and hell. I began to see that I needed a Savior. I began to see that the things that I loved were destroying me. And I believe that God is wanting to bring the church with eyes to see. But why are we distracted? Because we can almost live an easier life without God than with God. We have a world that can entertain us and TV sets that can keep us, amen, numb. And chemicals that we can take that even help us to come. And so many Christians don't want to be Christians. 2 Timothy talks about it in the last days, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. A form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Literally, they're putting their hope, they're blinded, the Bible says, and they're putting their hope in the world instead of Christ. And there's some of you sitting here, and you've got to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to give you eyes to see. Amen. Because otherwise, we'll be totally deceived. We've got a wrong paradigm. Paradigm is just what you see. Hey, amen. We think that what we believe is because we believe it, but we're just brainwashed by the world. Right. You know, today, it's in to be skinny. Well, you'll probably notice that I'm not skinny. Because I was born for another time. 200 years ago, fat was in. Right. You weren't considered to be successful if you weren't fat. In fact, I think it's 5 times in the Bible, God says, I'm going to make you fat. I don't know about you, but God loves me. Amen. And I'm only half joking. There are all kinds of things that we think is fun. We think it's fun to run. God, what's wrong with you? Amen. It's fun to play football. Yeah, just go run your head into the wall. I mean, there's nothing more painful. Everything. There's nothing in this life, basically, that's that great. Let's just be honest. Even the things that we think are fun can destroy us. Alcohol, drugs, sex. Amen. Am I making sense? Amen. So what is a Christian? A Christian begins to see life in a way that nobody else sees it. I see Paul says, as a dog returns to its vomit. Oh, That's pretty graphic. Amen. I doubt if I could move many of you if I were to come tonight to the potluck and say, hey, don't do it. You know where I'm going. Okay, I won't do it. I trust John. Amen. But you can finish the picture. Amen. A Christian sees sin in a way the world doesn't see it. Amen. You need to begin to pray, some of you. God shows you that this thing's killing you, the flesh, the world.
Yes.
And you begin to change because your attitude's going to determine, as the old statement goes, your altitude or how far you go. They had an airline strike in the 1980s, and the unions were talking about how that the workers in America that had it the hardest were the airline, the ones that control the flights. Well, I forget what that's called now. Air traffic controllers. And it was true. If you're older, you remember it. It crippled the thing and stuff for quite a while. And it was true. They were having heart attacks and they were having problems with their thinking. And it's because of the pressure, they were scared to death almost of their job because lives were in the deal. But then later, there came an article out that said, yes, 50% were being killed by their job in some ways. But then they looked at the other 50%. You know, the other 50% were the happiest, the most fulfilled workers in America because they didn't see their job as killing them. They saw their job as important. See, that's a Christian. Literally, life and death is in the hands of some of you that are here. I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't gotten saved and then talked to Alec and been willing to pray with him and then even more important, be his friend after that. I don't know what would have happened, but the world would be a different place. See, that's us. That's this morning. Amen. Look at the person next to you and say, you're important. Yeah, tell them they're a child of God. Look at that. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Amen. And so, listen to a couple scriptures, and then we'll go to the last one. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, is the image of God, should shine unto them. The purpose of hell is to keep you from seeing who you are. You say, that's not me. Liar. That's what finally got me saved. It was Randy Miller, 1973, setting a little American, Flagstaff, Arizona. I had prayed him. You can tell I got stories. Weird things happen. I was literally bombed out of my mind, loaded to the eyeballs. It's 2 a.m. and Randy Miller came in and said, Ron, you got to pray with me. I need to give my life to Christ. I said, Randy, I'm high. I'm drunk. Amen. I didn't do one. I did two on top of each other. And he goes, well, I you're the only Christian I know. I said, I'm not a Christian. But I had enough sense that I got down next to the bed. I said, okay, pray with me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I mean, literally, I am bombed out of my mind. He's saved today. Lives in Colorado Springs. We get together. And he was on a mission to get me saved. And he came and he was telling me, why you need to give your life to Christ. And I said, I've tried, doesn't work for me. And he said, and I say it to you this morning, you're a liar. You are not a big enough sinner to keep Jesus Christ's death from breaking the power of sin in your life. Yeah. You are not a big enough sinner to keep God from using you, amen, to bring life to where are we? Kingman, Arizona. Wave at me if I'm talking to anybody here today. And literally, you just need to move a new direction. You go out these doors today Just begin to activate the new you, not the old you. I know it because I was through there. I had been drunk or high every day for at least 3 years. And that night in Little America, when I walked out, I was changed. And the next night, I shared what happened to me to Joe Weidinger, and literally, he changed the direction of his life. Amen. That's the power that's here this morning. Do you feel it? I mean, I feel it this morning. I think God's breaking in. Listen to this scripture. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You have a body, but you are a spirit. Amen. And the final thought is that we need to persevere. We need a purpose. We need a new perspective. But more than anything, we need to just don't quit. Keep moving. Keep going for God. Persevere. The hassle in life is the good people get tired of being good before the bad people get tired of being bad. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So many Christians are just weenies. You know what I mean? They just don't walk in the strength of God. Amen. Because they've never heard it. They don't see it. You can. You can do the impossible. I'm getting myself convicted even as I'm talking about this. Amen. Listen to this one, Matthew 24:13. But they that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We're going to have to stick it out. Amen. Like I said to start this, the purpose of life isn't to make you happy. It's not that you feel good all the time. Amen. It's that your life has purpose. That every tear will bring reward. That there's perseverance in these things. Lay aside every weight of the sin that sets you, that you can run with patience the race that's set before you. I mean, we could go on and on. Amen. My struggle is sometimes, you know, I love, God's a great God. How many would agree with me on that? God's a good God. And he just loves blessing me. And I love to be blessed. You know what I don't like is when God looks down out of heaven and says to the devil, have you seen my servant, Ron Simpkins? And the devil said, well, you always treat him good. That's why he's good. And God says, okay, you've got him. I'd say all the time in my prayers, God, don't tell the devil to look at me. I'll fold like a house of cards. Amen. But God's greatest love for you is exhibited when he trusts you with the cross. Amen. And with the authority of the cross and all that could come. Message Bible, it's Colossians 1:11. We pray that you have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the gritting strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives is a strength that endures the unendurable. There's some here, you're facing huge challenges, relationships, divorce, sickness. Amen. This is a fallen world. Amen. But God's bigger. And hear this morning, you know enough. You know enough to trust God even when it's tough. Can I get an amen? And I'm not talking from an experience. Amen. I'm wrestling with the things of life. Amen. And struggles. Amen. But you know what? I'm going to win. And so are you. Hallelujah. And we're going to be more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time to build up our spiritual muscle. There's some of you that literally, and it's critical. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to pray. That's why you need to give. That's why you need to witness. You need to take time in your life. Amen. And take the Bible and meditate on it and get it into your spirit. Who am I talking to? Am I talking to anybody? Because, amen, God is, look, it's great to be in good health and strength and these things, but it's more important to be spiritual. And we live in a time where deception is everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
But so is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. So what is it we're talking about? Find your purpose. Find your purpose. You'll only find your purpose when you get a right perspective. Start reading the Bible and not just fitting it into some religious paradigm or some kind of deceptive kind of thing that makes God big but makes you tiny. God wants to make you big and come. And above all, don't quit. Keep going. Amen. In Ephesians 6, 10, 11 said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor. Amen. We need to put on that armor, righteousness, and who God says we are, not who the world says we are. But why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I know a little about wrestling. Was anybody a wrestler? Anybody here? Here's one. Anybody? Not too many. Hallelujah. Not as big out here in the West as it was in the South where my dad was. My dad was a wrestling coach, so I knew a little bit about wrestling just because you could do it. So the fraternity I was in when I went to the university, amen, we competed against other fraternities and dorms and these things. And we were doing pretty good. And it came time for wrestling. And so the guys in the fraternity said, you've got to wrestle, Ron. You've got to do it. Well, the problem is, I know enough about wrestling. You don't want to wrestle somebody that really wrestles, because they're going to kill you. You know, they're in good shape. And but they said, well, even if you just throw the match, we'll still get 1 point. So I said, well, I can do that. They said, nobody will be there. It'll just be, so you won't be embarrassed. You just go roll on your back. Anyway, so I don't mind as long as nobody's there. But I remember coming towards the women's gym at Northern Arizona University, and I hear a roar coming out of the gym. There were 300 guys there just to wrestle. The three mats are going, and the seats were pulled out on the side of the gym. I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 people maybe were there. Everybody's friends, and all my friends and buddies had come and do this. And I realized I'm going to be a fool in front of hundreds. Amen. Because I literally, all of this guy that I'm wrestling is up here, and all of me is down here. Amen. Hallelujah. But I knew I had to do something, so I invented my own wrestling move. Feel free to copy it if you need one. And I call it the spider. And it's very simple. I'm a pretty big guy. You just put your arms and legs out like this, and it's hard to turn you. I know there's got to be a way to do it, but this guy didn't know how, even though he had been a wrestler. I knew I was in trouble because this guy was a real wrestler. He had the funny ear things, you know what I mean, that they put on to protect your ears, and the funny little tennis shoes with high tops and this kinds of stuff. So I know I'm in trouble, so I did the spider. When they blew the whistle, you know what I mean, I just jumped out in the middle of the mat. He thought I was going for a takedown, but I was just going to lay there like this. So I'm laying there laughing at him, and that was a mistake because that ticked him off, made it look like a fool. And he jumps on my back, and I remember he's grabbing this arm, and he's grabbing this arm, and he's grabbing my leg, and he's jumping and twisting and turning, and I'm just kind of laying there trying to, I'm getting exhausted just trying to hang on. I remembered that if you get off the mat, something happens. And so I'm crawling towards the edge while he's jumping around on me. And I remember I got my hand off the mat, and they blew the whistle. But they didn't let me go home. They made me get back in the middle and do the spider again. I think it was 3 minutes, but it seemed like 3 days, literally. By the time I can hardly see, I'm breathing hard. They make me do it again. This time I'm on the bottom, and he's on top of me like this. Amen. And I'm just panicking because he's threatening me. This guy was a real wrestler, and he's looking like a fool. you know, in some ways. And he's, I'm going to put you in a, you know, I don't even, hammer lock or whatever, you know. And I'm freaking out because I know that he probably could do it. So when they blew the whistle, I just, I ran for it. And I got away. I think I got like 2 points for an escape. Then he made me come back and do the spider. Amen. Well, during this, so this has been going on, and there's this crowd of people that are there. What, and I hadn't known it, but my friends, people that your pastor knows, Coney Roscoe and Lanny and Joe Weidinger, and these people had all begin to come and surround the mat. Now there's like 25 of my friends around the mat as I'm wrestling. And the crowd's beginning to notice that we're fighting. Amen. And it came to the third match, the third three-minute period. Amen. And we're so exhausted. This guy's, I can't hardly breathe. I can't hardly see. I've got spots in front of my eyes. Amen. Just from doing the spider. This guy had been jumping and turning and twisting. He's tired than I am. We're just laying there. You know, trying to just do it. I remember the referee came and kicked us. Move. Amen. But it was right then when my buddies that are around the mat, they begin to chant, Simpkins, Simpkins, turn him, turn him. And I begin to hear him. First it's like 40, then it's 200, then it's 1,000. And that stadium is ringing with Simpkins, Simpkins, turn him. And new strength flowed into my body. I grabbed his arm. I picked it up. I turned him and I pinned him and I won. Ha ha. It was like an hour before I could stand up. They just kind of threw me in a corner because I was short. But I won. And I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. Say, we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but we wrestle against, or we do wrestle against principalities and powers. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And some of you today are in the middle of a match with hell itself. Amen. And heaven's watching. It said we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And I can hear them chanting, Wilson, Wilson, turn him. Do you hear it tonight? Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads for a moment. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ and we ask you, God, strengthen and empower us. God, help us. Help us to be everything you designed us to be. Help us to break the power of the enemy and release the power of God. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, maybe someone's come this morning and you're lost, but you need to get found. That you need to ask Jesus Christ into your life. We'd love to pray with you and begin the greatest adventure you'll ever face and the reason for life. If you're not saved, but you'd like to be, would you raise your hand? Would you put it up and put it down? Just put it up for a moment. Put it down. Maybe you're backslidden. You've known Christ, but God's dealing with you to come back and to reestablish your life. You'd raise your hand. You'd put it up and put it down. I see these hands. Amen. Anyone else? You'd raise your hand. Amen. I see these hands, other hands. You're here. This is a moment, a turning point for your life. Amen. In fact, you're sensing, even as I'm talking, that it's time for you to surrender. You're saved, but you're not surrendered. You're here. You need to fully surrender. Would you raise your hand? Amen, 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 amen. This is, I believe, the most important thing that we can do. It doesn't matter who's watching. It doesn't matter. But your life can change. Pray this prayer with me. You that raised your hand to get saved or to recommit or to surrender. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to forgive us of our sin, of our disobedience. God, we surrender. We receive your Holy Spirit. Empower us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Amen. What a privilege to be here and to be able to let me share with you. I love you guys. My wife loves you. I stole my wife from this church. Susie. Amen. She told me to tell you all she loves you. And she loves everything that's come out of this church. And I do too. Let's change the world. Amen. Praise God. Pastor.
Praise God. Simpkins.
That's how a lot of churches, when I come up, they start chanting that.
What's up, Spider?
That's Spider.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't God good?
God's good.
Amen. Well, why don't the ministry team come on up? We're going to open these altars if you need prayer. For the rest of you, why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to release you today, let you go. Remember tonight, 5 o'clock is the Men of Valor Bloom potluck, and we'll have a great time. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. You guys have a great and wonderful afternoon.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. God bless you. Well, you sound like you're walking.